Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. All praise, all glory, all honor belong to the true and living Elohim, whose name is the mighty Yahweh. Praise be to the Most High, the Holy One of Israel, the King of the universe, the Savior and the Redeemer of the whole earth. Let everything that hath breath praise the mighty Yahweh by saying hallelujah. It is my pleasure to be on the broadcast, the true word, not the false word, but the true word of Yahweh. My name is Brother Elkanah ben Israel. I'm the spiritual leader and teacher of the House of Israel of Atlanta. We welcome you to our broadcast for today. We're in part two of the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. This is one of the greatest chapters, one of the greatest books that the Almighty put in his scrolls. Even though there was no such thing as a chapter, this has become a chapter of so-called controversy, but it doesn't have to be. All it took was for someone to be able to explain what the Almighty is saying through his servant, the prophet Isaiah. And so we praise Yahweh for his greatness and his goodness, which endureth forever. So we want you to know that this broadcast is right now dedicated to only one. And that's Yahweh, because it's so important that everybody understands when he says, thus said Yahweh, or the word of Elohim came unto me, that the Most High is letting us know his words in this chapter, so that we wouldn't have never been confused, never thought that we had someone to come and die for our sins, like they lied to us on the plantations of slavery. We would have never thought these things. So it's so important, so vitally important that we understand these things. And as we go to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, which we're going to go into right now, we won't waste any time because this is the second portion of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And so we praise the mighty Yahweh that he has blessed us to be able to bring forth his words, his great laws, his great statutes, and his judgments. And as we turn to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, this is what it reads in this great chapter, and we're going to start at verse 1 again. The reason why we need to start at verse 1, so that we can get the sense and the meaning of the understanding of what the Creator is giving us in His laws and His words, so no one could be confused. Because the first verse lets us know and asks a question: who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? And that's a great question. That's a mighty great question. To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed to? Well, it's revealed unto his servants, the prophets, and to everyone who believe in the true and living Elohim. And of course, that's why the prophet Isaiah is asking the question, who has believed our report? Who has trusted in this report that is being brought by a black prophet named Isaiah? Seeing that everybody just about believes that this prophecy, that this word was for someone to come and go against the laws of Yahweh by dying for your sins. And many preachers have made a fortune off of the misfortune of the miseducation of the true Hebrew Israelites. Who are they? They are none other than the so-called African Americans and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this earth. You are the Creator's chosen people. You are the bloodline descendants of three black men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Very important that you know this. Very important that you understand this. That's why the Almighty's words never will return void. Because the Most High wants you to believe him and trust him. For instance, go to the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and let's look at the 10th and 11th verse. This is what it reads. Ye are my witnesses, said Yahweh, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. Did you hear that? Yahweh said, beside me there is no Savior. Hallelujah. Praise be Yahweh. That beside him, there's no Savior. So we thank the mighty Yahweh. We thank him for his words. He let you know right here, three things that you have to do to understand this. You must first know, then believe, and understand. And that's why the Almighty commanded his servant, the prophet Isaiah, to write in the first verse, who has believed our report? Because if you don't believe the report of Yahweh, you won't be established. Yahweh had to let the prophet, the king Ahab, know this in his time. Yahweh gave him a sign in the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter, and told him by the same prophet Isaiah, I will give you a sign. Yahweh will give you a sign so that you can understand who was going to win the battle, so that you would know that you won't be overthrown. But if you don't believe him, you won't be established, because the Almighty is great, and he wants you to know his words. He wants you to trust him. So therefore, in furthering in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we're going to go straight to where we left off last week. And we're going to start at verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet We esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. Isn't that something? Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. So in other words, did we consider who was striking this man or people that the Almighty is speaking of in this fourth verse? And don't you know, my people, that the Almighty has already let us know who his servant is. The Almighty has already let us know who he was going to put to grief. For instance, let's continue to read in the fifth verse. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let's read that again. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They got a lot of our people thinking that beyond the shadow of a doubt that this has to be speaking of an individual that we learned from the plantations, the one they call Christ, the one who died for our sins, the one they made a movie about. You remember years ago, they made this movie speaking of how Christ was crucified with thorns on his head. And so many of our people spent their money to go and look at something that is make-believe. And how do I know it's make-believe? How do I know you shouldn't believe it? See, here's the report you believe. Most of our people have believed the report of their enemies, and they have not believed Yahweh's report through his servant. How do I know? I'll show you. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. That's right. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, and see what the true and the living Elohim has to say. In Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter and the 16th verse. And here's the evidence to know just how we have forsaken the Creator and just how much we have went away from his great law. This is what it says. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Isn't that something? It says every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So in other words, that sounds quite contrary to believe that this chapter was addressing that someone was going to come and die for their sins, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, no. It's only because you have believed the slave master's report. That's the reason why. That's why Yahweh had his prophet to ask the question in the beginning of this great chapter. Who has believed our report? Because this report doesn't mention, not in one verse, that anyone was going to die for anybody's sins. Because it had already been established in Yahweh's laws, as you just read, that you die for your own sins. Every man dies for his or her own sin. Wouldn't have been no confusion wouldn't have been anyone who couldn't understand this, because you have to believe in Yahweh in order to be established. Now, I'm going to show you something that many people may not know, because in order for us to understand this, as we went over last week, the Almighty's words in the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, Yahweh said, "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" in the 9th verse. "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." So in other words, that's the only way we were going to understand the words of the true and living Elohim. Line upon line, doctrine upon doctrine, here a little and there a little. So as we go back to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we're going to see beyond the shadow of a doubt just what the true and living Elohim is trying to reveal to us. You notice it says again in verse 4 and 5, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of Elohim. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Well, guess what? This couldn't be talking about us today, and that someone died for our sins that we would be healed, because we're not healed. We, Yah's people, is the most stricken with disease there is. So in other words, if the accomplishment was for him to die for the sins, that he would heal us in this manner because he would have died for our sins, certainly we wouldn't have even went through slavery. Because as the New Testament states, it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's what it reads. It says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, if he redeemed us from the curse of the law, then my goodness, why are we still cursed? Why are we not healed? Why are we catching the same hell and even more than any of our people, even unto this day, that we're still catching hell? So let us understand. Let us know and believe and understand that Yahweh is he. Before him there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after him. Yah said, "I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me." You're not going to be saved by Christ. You're not going to be saved by a lie that somebody died for your sins. Yahweh said, "Beside me, there is no Savior." So you would be a fool to believe that someone could accomplish something against the laws of Yahweh, because Yah's laws stand firm, and Yahweh don't lie. It's not a man that he should lie. Let's prove this. Let's see who this is that was wounded for our transgressions. And say he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let's first go to the book of Ecclesiastes. That's right. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes and see what the words of the true and living Elohim lets us know. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, and we're going to read the 18th verse of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. And let's see what it says. It says, For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth in sorrow. Ooh. Let me read that again, because that's so true. That really hit the bottom of my soul. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth in knowledge increaseth in sorrow. Now, those of you all that know Yahweh, you know this is the truth. You know that the Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, the King of the universe, who has given us the truth, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the more you learn about what happened to us, the more it brings sorrow, the more it brings grief, the more you learn of how much you know you got to make that change because you got bad habits. You know that it caused you grief. And Yahweh in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, my people, just to make it plain to you, he's speaking of a wise elite seed that is obeying his commandments, that's catching hell because they have accepted the punishment. They're being afflicted and smitten, even in the midst of all of the rejection that they get from their own people, all of the criticism that they get from the nations. But they're willing to be strong and courageous to make it through. They're not going to cry concerning and give up. They're going to cry to the Most High concerning themselves and their people and the wickedness that we have committed. And they are the ones that will sigh and cry. They are the ones that have carried the grief. You don't know, my people, those of you all that, because I know we have various people listening right now, of our people that never heard this broadcast. Let me say, you just don't know how many tears that your brothers and sisters have shed for you concerning how blind you've been, because we was blind too. And now that we learn more knowledge, we learn that it ain't nobody but Yahweh. We learn that there's no Elohim beside him. There's no Elohim else but him. And we don't want nobody else. We want it to be Yahweh. Do you understand? And that we learn that there's no one else that can save us, because Yahweh, he is the one who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. And the Almighty, he told us something in the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter, that he told us that we that find out what happened to us and what we must do, he told us how to return. So hold that page and go to Leviticus, the 26th chapter, and see for yourself. Now let me say this. If you have a comment or question, and I see we already have someone that's waiting online, we want you, if you've called, area code 323-443-7418, if you hit the number 1, we're going to put you on the air at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because we want your questions or your comments, whatever it may be. So we praise the mighty Yahweh, because the Almighty has given us his words, and we realize that the people that want to know him and understand his truth and to exalt his holy name, that they have been blessed. And we all have been blessed to know him. And now Yahweh has given us a mission, in case you didn't know. He gave us a mission to wake up our lost brothers and sisters. Those of you all that know the truth, and some of you all that know the truth that still need more learning. Let's see what the Almighty has to say in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, starting at verse 40. Let's get right to the point. Yahweh said, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them. That means contrary is saying that we have walked against him, and we have to admit that he walked against us because we walked against him, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh has given us a way to return back to him. Oh, yes, the bones might be dry. People might think that our hope is lost, but it's not. It's not. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh, your maker. If we confess our sins and iniquities and the iniquities of our fathers, see, he don't want us to disconnect from our ancestors. He don't want us to disconnect from our ancestors. With their trespass, which they trespass against me, and also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, not their friends. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled and accept of the punishment, then he said he will remember his covenant. And he will remember his covenant and the land. And what does that mean? He told us if we kept his commandments, he told us even if we sinned against him, because there's no man that sinneth not. What Yahweh said he would do, he said he would return us back to our land. If we return to him, if we humble ourselves, if we confess and admit that we were just wrong, Yahweh said, he will return unto us. Hallelujah. So therefore, in going back to the book of Isaiah, we find that Yahweh told us that he carried our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken and smitten of Elohim and afflicted. See, remember, Yahweh told us in Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th and 14th verse, to know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Yahweh told us by the same prophet Isaiah that he was going to put us in the furnace of affliction. Did you hear what I said? Yahweh said that he was going to put us, his people, in the furnace of affliction. Just right. Just go to Isaiah, the 48th chapter, the 10th verse, and look what the Creator said. In Isaiah, the 48th chapter and the 10th verse, this is what it reads. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. See, he meant that. He meant that. He put us in the furnace of affliction. So therefore, you got to be strong. There's an old saying. Old saying that some people, when they get hot, they got to get out the kitchen. If they get a little bit too hot, you got to get out the kitchen. Some people done left the kitchen a long time ago. Some people knew the truth, found out the truth, and left long time ago, because the furnace became to be too hot for them. Can't stand the heat. Get on out the kitchen. Well, we in the kitchen of affliction, and it's burning. And only the strong and those that it can endure, they go make it home to Jerusalem. So don't give up, my people. Let's accept the punishment. We deserve to be punished. This is us we talking about in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Believe it or not, this is the righteous, not one individual. All the scholars knew in the translation of the words of the Almighty that surely cases that it says he and him, that Yahweh may have been speaking in various cases of an entire nation. As we went over last week in Exodus, the 4th chapter, Yahweh told Moses to tell Pharaoh in the 22nd and 23rd verse, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Letting you know, don't believe the hype of the lies. Furthermore, seeing that Yahweh said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, let us go to the book of Jeremiah and see knowledge of the great chastisement of the great Yahweh. Jeremiah chapter 30. Let's see what Yahweh said, starting at the 12th verse. Look what Yahweh lets us know. He said, for thus said Yahweh, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. Whose wound? All you got to do is look at verse 10, the same chapter. Yah said, therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, said Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and shall be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, said Yahweh, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. This is why he says in the 12th verse, because you can clearly see he's speaking to his people Israel. He's speaking, as he said in Isaiah the 49th chapter, to his servant Israel, the same Israel, the same righteous who he told to bring Jacob back to him, this elite group of Israelites. This is what Yahweh said. For thus said Yah, thy bruise is incurable. See, there it is. And thy wound is grievous. That means your wound. He's talking to Israel. See, let's get understanding, because Yahweh said wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, but with all you're getting, get what? Get understanding. He is talking to Israel that hear his voice, that understand and know and believe him. Because Jacob, dead Jacob, have eyes and can't see, and ears and can't hear. So only those that hearken unto his words, that's knocking at his door constantly for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Because you got to beg and knock and pray and search like it's fine gold, some gold hidden somewhere. So that means you got to do some painstaking, steadfastness, and be faithful. And you have to endure. Furthermore, Jeremiah 30, verse 13, there is none to plead your cause. You can think that Christ and all the ambassadors of hell that have told you that he died for your sins, or Yahshua, or Yahushua, that he died for your sins, but there's none to plead our cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. This is Yahweh talking now. He said, I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of thy iniquity, because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Yahweh is not talking to a sinless person. Yahweh is talking to someone who know they have sinned, because there's no man that sinneth not. And believe you me, I can show you 12 great sins of Christ. Call them what you want. Yahshua. Yahushua. J-E-S-U-S. I can show you 12 deadly sins that he has committed in the writings of Marcion and Piso of the New Testament of the Bible. I'll show you the examples where he picked corn on the Sabbath in Matthew's the 12th chapter. I'll show you where he had no regard for a man who had lost his father when he wanted to bury his father. Christ told this man, look, let the dead bury the dead. I'll show you where this drunken, greedy, gluttonous, lush man was drunk and wanted some more wine and went to a wedding, and he went to his mother, and his mother came to him and said, son, ain't no more wine out there. I don't have no more wine. And he told his own mama, what have I to do with you? When Christ was summoned by his own mother, Mary, and his brother, and the men came and told him, look here, Christ, your mother and your brother want to talk to you. Christ disowned his mother and son and brother. You know what Christ said? Christ looked around at the men who had left their own wives and children and the multitudes that was following him. And Christ looked at them and said, look, behold, here is my mama and my brother. And never went to his mother, because he never honored his mother nor his father. And you would believe in your salvation for someone like this that your enemies created? Because there's no other Elohim beside Yahweh. No wonder he bruised us for our sins. No wonder he chastises us, because he loves us. This is talking about the righteous. This Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, is speaking of a righteous elite group. The sixth verse of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. This is what it reads. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because guess what, y'all? Yahweh looks to and fro in the earth for someone to stand in the gap for the people that didn't do his laws and his statutes and his commandments and serve other gods as our people are doing to this day. He searched high and low for the righteous. Don't you know? And that he wants to show himself strong on behalf of those that fear him. He said he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Could this be speaking of the Christ of the New Testament? Someone who opened not his mouth? Someone who was in prison? Do you understand, my people? As a sheep before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That means before you shear a sheep and cut its hair off, a sheep is a dumb animal. It don't move. It just lets you cut its hair. It don't complain. And Almighty said, this is the way this servant would be. Don't you know? That's what it means to accept the punishment. That's what it means not to go around protesting. Just look up the words in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, where it says, accept of the punishment. Let that be your homework. Look up every word, because every word of Elohim is pure. Look up the word in Leviticus, the 26th chapter that we went over, in the 40th verse on down, and you look up the word, if they didn't accept of the punishment. Look up that word, accept of the punishment. Look up all those words, because as I mentioned, every word of Elohim is pure. And you're going to see and understand once you define these words, you're going to find that these words mean this was someone who was tranquil, who didn't open his mouth, who didn't complain. Like the servants of Yahweh know. They know not to complain. In the 41st verse of Leviticus 26, they know to accept of the punishment. So they don't go around voting somebody, trying to vote a person in to office in the land of their oppression, because they know what a punishment is coming from. They don't go around begging for equal rights, because we know why we're in this land. We were never sent here for equal rights. We were sent here to be punished and chastised because of the sins and iniquities of us and our forefathers. So it wasn't just them. It's us too. That's why the Almighty lets us know furthermore. He said, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Do you see what it is? As a lamb. Not that he would be the lamb of the world. Not that he would fulfill the nursery rhyme that the white man gave you. You know, you remember? Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb who died for the sins of the world. How in the world would Mary have a lamb? Where did this come from in the New Testament? You're humming a nursery rhyme in your churches and in some of your sanctuaries of brothers who claim that they know Yahweh, know who they are, but they still believe that someone died for their sins named Yahshua. You just have turned Christianity black. But let's see. Let's go to the New Testament and let's see, could Christ possibly be this servant? Because maybe it's a remote chance. I don't know. till we look at this verse, chapter, in Matthew's the 26th chapter. Let's see. Well, I have to be honest with you because I do know that he's not, but I still got to show you this. I still got to let you know, for those of you all who do believe that he did and you want to believe it bad and you're too scared to drop him in the garbage where he belongs, you need to see if this was someone who died like a lamb before his shears is dumb, or sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Let's see, did Christ open his mouth when it was time for him to die? Because remember, Isaiah the 53rd chapter states, as a lamb, not that he would be the lamb, but as a lamb. Don't you know? Matthew's the 26th chapter. You got to see this. It starts, and we'll start at verse 36. It says, then cometh Christ with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And he took him and Peter with him, Peter and two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, this is Christ talking now, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and pray, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. That means they were sleepy. Isn't that something? And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Oh, my goodness. If this don't tell you that this certainly doesn't sound like Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, where it says he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. And you got to understand that. You would have to watch that process. Watch how that sheep don't move or open its mouth when it's being sheared. So he opened not his mouth. Now you see that according to the writings of the New Testament of your Bibles, you have just heard and witnessed with your ears that Christ, like a sissy, went and asked for protection as if he wanted them to watch over him. And then he prayed. That ought to let everybody know who praying to Christ or Yahshua. Why would you pray to a creature rather than the Creator? Yahweh prays to no one. And you reading about somebody who prayed to the Almighty, and then read to see if he answered him one single word, and you'll never see it. And then he prayed again, oh, my Father, if it be possible, could you let this cup pass from me? Do this sound like somebody that was strong? Somebody that was a real man that didn't mind dying for the cause of the people? Somebody who, like a shears, like a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Do that sound like someone like that? Or do it sound like a punk? Do it sound like a fag? Do it sound like a sissy? I'll vote for all three. A weak man. Not like Moses. See, you need to see how much Moses loved his people. And Yahweh told him something that is an indictment against anyone who believed this great lie of your enemies that they put in this book for you to believe. And let me show you, because it's so vitally important that you see this in the book of Exodus. Let's go to Exodus, the 32nd chapter, and witness this great thing that Moses tried to do for us, because it shows how much he really loved us. But you got to see it for yourself, because it's heavy. And it starts in the 30th verse of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. That's when they had made the golden calf. Don't you know? Moses loved us. He loved Yahweh. And he knew Yahweh. And he knew Yahweh was upset. And now, I will go up unto Yahweh peradventure. Perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sins. And let's see what kind of atonement he was going to try to make. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them deities of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Hallelujah. What a soldier. What a great man. What a true, humble, righteous man who really cared about the people. Not like a sorry man who, when it's time for him to get married after being engaged and it's time for him to actually go with the ceremony, he go in a closet somewhere and start praying and saying, please, Yahweh, don't let this marriage happen. Please don't let it happen. Don't you know? Yah told Moses, because Moses had to be sincere, or Yahweh would have told him and killed him right there on the spot. Yah said these famous words that you need to hear in the 33rd verse. Yahweh said unto Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. I'll say it again. Yahweh said unto Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Don't you know, my people? Don't you know? Yahweh will never kill a righteous, innocent person for the sins of the wicked. Don't you know that by now? That's his word. Scriptures say to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You can find that in Isaiah 8, chapter 20th verse. This is a testimony and a witness against you. If you truly believe that the Almighty allowed anyone to die for your sins. Don't you know? Don't you know, my people? The Almighty is only going to kill the sinner. He's going to kill someone who is not going to return back to his laws. Let's go back to the 8th verse of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. It reads, and he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. So don't you know, my people, who do you know that's in the prisons more than us? This country holds the greatest amount of prisoners on earth. This is a prophecy of your people that are righteous, and that we have went through affliction for almost 400 years. This is not talking about a make-believe story that your enemies came up with. It says, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Well, don't you know, my people, Yahweh has servants that Yahweh is going to save, because they're not going to do iniquity, nor shall there be a deceitful tongue found in their mouth. And you've got to see this in his words, so that you will be given understanding in the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter. And in a few minutes, we're going to be opening our phone lines up. In just a few minutes, all you got to do is call area code 323-443-7418, hit the number 1, and we're going to put you on the air for your questions or any of your comments. All you got to do is hit the number 1, and we're going to put you on. Zephaniah, the third chapter. Look what Yahweh said, starting at the 12th verse. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. That means a humble and afflicted people, a people who have bowed down to the will of Yahweh. And he got a name for these people. It says, and they shall trust in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. They shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. None shall make them afraid. That's what he's speaking of, my people. And some of us, some of the righteous have died. Some of the righteous servants who dedicated their whole life to teaching and doing the laws of the Most High, like Moray Elisha Israel, the man of Elohim, the prophet of the Most High. He that taught at the House of Israel in Cincinnati, Ohio, in his time. Minister Herman Taylor of Jackson, Mississippi, of the House of Israel of Jackson, Mississippi. Moray Tyree from the House of Israel of Cincinnati. Don't you know, my people, all of the righteous of your fathers and ancestors that you read about in this book that were righteous, and all of the present of your people that kept the commandments. Don't you know, my people, that the Almighty, he considers the death of his saints precious? Don't you know he prophesied in Daniel the 12th chapter that he gonna raise some people from the dust of the earth to everlasting life? All they had to do was keep his commandments. All they had to do was fear him and bow down to his will. And that's what we better be doing. Deceitful tongue better not be found in our mouths. Yet it pleased Yahweh in the 10th verse of Isaiah chapter 53. It pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. We got to see, is there a word of Yahweh concerning making our souls an offering for sin? You notice it didn't say he was going to die for nobody's sin. He said he would make his soul an offering for sin. And we're going to look this up. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Now remember, Yah said it pleased him to bruise him. He shall see his seed. That means he's going to have some descendants. He's going to have children. He's going to have children. Uh-oh. You can X out Yeshua. You can X out Christ. He ain't had no children. Christ didn't have no seed. Christ didn't have no seed. Uh-oh. And see, I noticed in the book of Galatians, when it lied on Abraham, when they said that when Yahweh spoke of the seed he was going to bless, that they claim in the New Testament that that seed was singular. It says seed, not seeds. But Yahweh ain't got to say seeds to those that have knowledge, because seed means descendants. Do you understand? Seed means children from whoever he's speaking of. But all of a sudden, I bet you they'd be willing to say, oh, yeah, that means descendants, so they could justify Christ. Do you understand? Seed means descendants. Christ had no children. Do you understand? This ain't talking about JC. This ain't talking about Yahshua or Yahushua. Yah said, furthermore, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So in other words, as Moses tried to die for the people, don't you know my people, your brothers and sisters who love you, who want to bring you back to Yahweh, dead Jacob back to Yahweh, don't you know they pour their souls out unto death? Don't you know they work unto death, they risk their life in order to bring the words of the true and living Creator amongst a nation who hates us, as Yahweh said they would, amongst a nation who tries to kill us through his food and every other resource that they can find to kill us, to try to cut our babies off by giving our sisters injections and everything else. These, don't you know, my people, this is modern Egypt. What did they do in Egypt? They wanted to kill all the little Hebrew boy babies, because they didn't want the seed to continue. And the man carries the seed. He bore the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. And speaking of that, let's go to the book of Ezekiel. And as I said, all you got to do is hit the number one. You can call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one, and we're going to put you on the air. In the meantime, in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, I've got to show you, my people, I've got to show you that Yahweh searches, as Moses was able to stand before Yahweh, and Moses, when Yahweh said, I'm going to kill all these people, get back, Moses. Moses said, Yahweh, no. They're going to say you just brought them out of slavery just to kill them. Yah said, I'm going to make a nation out of you, Moses. And Moses did not accept it, prayed for the people, and was willing to die for them. But what was Christ's words? What was his words? You know, prayed three times to have a cup taken from her. You be the judge. In Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, look what Yahweh said by his own words, starting at the 26th verse. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profane among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dubbed them with untemperate mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus said Yahweh, when Yahweh has not spoken. And that's what these ministers are doing today. They're telling you that Yahweh said that he was going to kill his son to die for the sins of the world, and can't none of them find that. And I'm willing to debate anyone that would like to lie against the Most High and say that he did. Yahweh said when he ain't even never spoke this, because he never have. The people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yeah, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their own heads, said Yahweh Elohim. Hallelujah. Praise be Yahweh. Praise be to the mighty Yahweh. So my people, understand, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the true and the living Elohim, he wants you to know that he searches for people. You see what he said? I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Found none. Ain't that something? And that's what Moses did. Moses made up the hedge to stand in the gap for the people because he was righteous. And believe it, my people, that's what your righteous brothers and sisters that keep the commandments even unto this day, that's what they're doing right now on your behalf. And don't you know that the righteous in the 10th verse is the ones that he's talking about when he said he going to make his soul an offering for sin? Let's see this. Let's see this in action in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah, the 66th chapter, in the time we have left, we have 20 minutes, and we have our phone lines open. All you have to do if you want a question or a comment, all you have to do is hit area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1, and we're going to put you on the air for whatever your question or your comment. But if you just like to listen in to the words of Yahweh, praise be to the mighty Yahweh. In Isaiah, the 66th chapter, look what it says. Look what your true and living Elohim let you know. In verse 15, it says, for behold, Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots, like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword where Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, said Yahweh. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And right now, Yahweh is going to show you his glory. This is what he said in the 19th verse. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, and that they that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Who is these nations? Pul, Tarshish, Lud, Tubal, and Javan. These are the sons of Japheth. These are the isles of the Gentiles. See, Yahweh prophesied that the same people who gave us his religion to make you think that somebody died for your sins, their descendants are going to be the same ones who's going to see his glory and be your servants. For in the 20th verse, this is what it says. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto Yahweh out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, said Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yah. Hallelujah. That's what they're going to do. Don't you know? That is what Yahweh is speaking of in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter and the 10th verse. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Now that makes sense. Because the ones and the people that he's speaking of is going to have children, not like Yahshua, not like Christ, who had no seed, who had no descendants, who had no children. It says, and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. Hallelujah. And that's the prosperity. Here is the prosperity. The prosperity is Yahweh prophesied that these Gentile nations were going to bring us back upon litters, mules, and swift beasts to his holy mountain, Jerusalem, like we used to bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise be Yahweh for his greatness and his goodness. Furthermore, just to complement this, go to Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Isaiah, the 49th chapter, and see what thus said Yahweh in Isaiah, the 49th chapter, concerning these nations. That's going to bring us back, starting at verse 22. This is what it says. Thus said Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will lift up my hand unto the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nurse and fathers, and their queens thy nurse and mothers. They shall bow down unto thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? You notice it says the lawful captive. The lawful means the captive who keep the law, the righteous. They're going to be saved, delivered. But thus said Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own blood, because we are oppressed. And they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I am Yahweh, thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Yahakov, the mighty one of Jacob. Hallelujah. Praise be Yahweh. And as I said earlier, I put out a challenge to anyone that would say that this chapter is speaking of someone that's going to come and die for your sins. If you believe that, I want you to call this number. Call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1, and we want to put you on the air to hear you out. If you want to call me out and say I'm lying and I don't know what I'm talking about, set me straight and call me right now. Area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We'll put you on the air, because it's important that we have this dialogue, this teaching of this great chapter. And of course, by being the chapter that it is, the Almighty is letting us know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that we believe his report. Because this report is about us. See, we believe his report, and you have to believe his prophets. Because it's something very important that you need to see concerning believing one of his prophets. I say believing one of his prophets. For instance, go to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. That's right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And let's see what thus said Yahweh in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Because this is heavy, we're going to read verse 20 in the time that we have left. And again, if you have any questions or comments, all you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We'll put you on the air. In the meantime, praise Yahweh for all the listeners that was able to hear the words of Yahweh, because it's precious. According to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, look what the true and living Elohim wanted us to know. And I'll start reading at verse 18. It says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise Yahweh Elohim of Israel with a loud voice on high. See, Yahweh loved a loud voice and shouting of praise as we do on the Sabbath day in the sanctuary of Elohim at the house of Israel of Atlanta. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh, your Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." I had to say that again. Believe in Yahweh your Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Hallelujah. Praise be Yahweh. And in many cases, the people don't believe Yah's prophets. We had a prophet that passed, as I mentioned earlier, Moriah Elisha. They don't believe truly that he was a prophet. Some people don't. But those of us that knew him knew he was a prophet. And do you really believe that Yahweh was going to leave us on earth and was not going to give you a prophet? And even though he has passed, our beloved brother, the late great Moriah Elisha, you believe that he don't have still prophets on earth living today to give you the words of Yahweh, to have you thinking you could make an excuse on the day of judgment and think that you don't have to answer because you didn't know and nobody was here to tell you? Oh, no, you're mistaken. And that's why we're going to go right now to our caller from area code 513. Shalom, shalom. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, beloved brother and Moray.
Hey, shalom, beloved brother Elder Elijah. How you doing, my brother?
Brother, our brother is doing excellent because he's hearing the words of Yah, and Yah is always keeping his promise that he's listening when his name is raised in honor and strength and to the true credit that he should receive. And, you know, it's wonderful in relation to what you said about Moriah Elisha. You know,
yes,
you're right. That's the key phrase you made. People cannot believe that a man came into our midst and he was a prophet. And I see it in my own circle. But this is what I want to say quickly to you to expedite.
Yes, sir.
That Yahweh says that the secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him.
That's
and
right.
He will show them his covenant. And according to what Moriah Elisha said, what Yah sent him to do, and he said that was to show the people in captivity here in this place and anywhere else that can hear his voice, that
yes.
they were not to hold the Passover in this land.
That's right.
And he pointed that to them because it's a great abomination. And then
That's
he
right.
goes on to show in a relation to that, that if you don't know when to hold it, day or night, according to Yahweh's ordinances, that you would still pollute it. So there can be no doubt with those who love Yahweh, who walk delightfully and what he's shown, and that they're not of the people, even of Israel, that say, "Oh me, woe is the burden of Yahweh. I'm carrying this great burden." For those that can say delightfully, "Oh Yahweh, you know, you bursted my bubble to make the right one that's there hanging on nothing like you do the earth, that this is what it is." And so, Moriah and I, you know that I'm a lover of Yahweh, and I probably wouldn't be a good confirmer or affirmer because I become prejudiced rightfully that after checking out Yahweh's evidence, checking out his goodness, checking out his mercy, checking
yeah.
out his history, and all the background checks you're supposed to do, if you don't fall in love with Yahweh, you got a hole in your soul. Hallelujah.
Praise ye, Yah, brother. Well said. And I agree with you 9,000,000,000%. And I just talked just this past Sabbath concerning what you're saying about Moriah Elisha, and that even people who say he was a prophet, some things they don't believe. And I say it, and that's why I say beyond the shadow of a doubt, brother, that Yahweh said, believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. That's in his own word in the Holy Scripture,
yes,
letting
sir.
Us know that you have to believe him and his prophets. And his prophets. And he
yes,
didn't put
sir.
Them there for nothing. And yeah, like you said, every word came to pass. When he said that a day was in the morning and the Sabbath was in the morning, many people who believed that a Sabbath began in the evening actually admitted after he died that Moriah Elisha was right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise
Hallelujah.
Be to the Yah. And I love you, brother. May
Praise
Yahweh
be, amen. And you know, let me say these parting
yes.
words. I know you got things to do and people to see.
That's
but
right,
to
brother.
Have been blessed to walk into Israel and walk into the leadership of what Yah has set in place and realizing that me and my brothers and sisters, my twin brother, the illustrious Elder Hadea, the illustrious elder sister, her, Adila, and Gregory, who calls himself Davi, and my son, my own seed. I was asking Yah, do I have a blessed seed? And I see that I got one that's doing the right thing. So in terms of all that and what this brother brought to land in this place, oh, praise be Yahweh.
That's right.
I feel like a sluggard in a way because I can't sing him enough songs yet, but I'm working on it. And, brother, I want to hear somebody else that want to talk to you because if somebody else that want to talk to you today, they still got a hole in their soul. Shalom, shalom, beloved. I love
shalom,
you.
Shalom, shalom, beloved
your beautiful
brother.
Wife
praise Yah, and I love you. May Yah bless and keep you, okay?
Thank you, my brother.
Shalom, shalom. Well, praise Yahweh. It looks like we done ran completely out of time. But that's fine because that's the way it goes when you're speaking the words of the Almighty. These words be so sweet. And that's why it's so beautiful to know the truth. And I praise Yahweh for our Elia. And I praise Yahweh for all those that listen in. And I praise the Almighty for being great and giving us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to clearly understand what he means when he's speaking in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Praise be to the mighty Yahweh. And on behalf of the entire house of Israel of Atlanta, we want you to know that Yahweh loves you, and so do we. Shalom. Shalom.